And good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, March 29th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 1, page 16 in Bill's story, starting with the last paragraph, the third paragraph, beginning with "most of us feel," and it ends with "in goodwill to men." This will conclude our chapter today. So get ready and let's hear about, so today's readers are Peggy M. for the 12 steps, Athena B. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of the text are Robin P., Julie E. B., and Marilyn T. Our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M., and Janice P.M. will be our announcements today. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, March 28, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,717. That's 12717. And the share ID for this morning's March 29, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,719. That's 12719. OA Preemblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience and strength and hope and are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Peggy M. to read our 12 steps. Peggy?
Good morning. This is Peggy M. from Illinois, recovered. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, after having a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do a service, and have a good week. Thank you.
And thank you, Peggy M. And now Athena B. will read our 12 traditions of OA. Athena?
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is best based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Athena B., for reading the 12 traditions. Sorry. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you've done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And that also includes your mute button, so please press star 1. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 16, paragraph 3. This is going to conclude this chapter on Bill's story. And we're going to ask now to have Robin P. to begin reading. Robin?
Thank you. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Well, I love that, and I looked it up, and today, just from that little meeting, there are now 115,326 AA groups in 175 countries. Wow. And there are 6,500 OA groups in 80 countries. Just from that little kernel, that little mustard seed of a meeting. It's very powerful and very profound to me. And I do feel like I live in utopia today. You know, I was so desperately, like, such a sad disease of isolation. And I have friends today. I have love today. I have my family today. I have a relationship with my parents today, which is a miracle because I came from a lot of abuse. So there was a lot of step work involved in that. And I have a marriage today. I have, you know, I got divorced, and then I got remarried to my husband in recovery. That's one of my gifts of recovery today. That you can, this is utopia for me. I don't have my head in the bowl. I'm not starving myself to death. I'm not, people aren't looking at me wondering if I'm going to live. you know, and I'm not, you know, to not be bulimic, to not be anorexic, to not be, you know, compulsively overeating today and being feeling like I'm in hell and when can I get off the planet? That's my definition of utopia, that I get to live with God, and I feel the angels help me a lot too. So I feel so much spiritual support and love in my life. And I get to, you know, trudge the road of happy destiny with all of you. That's really a miracle on earth for me, because I felt like I lived in hell on earth. And to feel that I actually get to live in this spiritual realm here, it is utopia for me. I feel like I could cry. I am so grateful. I mean, I when I was in the food, once I started binging, I wouldn't stop. It was like the mental obsession combined with a physical allergy. That was my life. I would binge and vomit or binge or starve myself all day. That was my mission. Once it started, it was Russian roulette. That was it for the rest of the day. So to now live and be of service and let God use my gifts for good, and I'm an inventor, and people, my inventions are helping people, and I get this amazing feedback, and I have spiritual connections with people, and these, you know, holy meetings with people, you know, that when you bump into people, that thank you, that, you know, it's not, it's God is, you know, when it's a coincidence, it's God choosing to be anonymous in my life, and I have that every day. God bless everybody in your recovery. I really look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
And thank you, Robin P., for getting us started. So, again, I want to remind everybody we're in Chapter 1, Bill's Story. We're finishing up the last paragraph on page 16 that begins with "most of us feel." And we're going to read that one paragraph only, which concludes the chapter. So who would like to share on this paragraph today?
Laura W.
Okay, I heard
Julie
Laura
E.
W.
B.
Chevy K.
Who was right after Laura W.?
Chevy K.
Okay, Chevy K.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Laura H.
G.
Okay, I heard a Laura. Was that a Laura G?
Laura H.
Laura H. Okay. Did I hear
Cindy
the last
B.
initial G from somebody?
That was Cindy, Sherry.
Okay. Hi, Cindy D. Okay.
Hi there.
And one more, please.
Anna B.
Anna B?
Yes.
Okay, Anna B. Was that B as in boy? Okay, we'll get your last initial there. So I have Laura W., Chevy K., Julie E.B., Laura H., Cindy D., and Anna B. Laura W., you're up, and Chevy K. will follow you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. I love this paragraph. You know, when I was in the disease, I thought utopia would be obtained when I was 110 pounds, when I had a lot of money in the bank, when I was driving a great car, and when I had a job that everybody envied. And you know what? I was miserable, selfish, self-centered, and completely insane. Utopia is—I looked it up this morning. It means it's a perfect place. And today, I have to tell you, you know what utopia is? Utopia is, number one, that I trust a higher power, that I trust God, and I have a relationship, a personal relationship, just between me and my God, that works for me and my life. And second is that I'm abstinent, and God gives that to me because I'm willing to do what He directs me to do, and I'm willing to continue to work these steps one day at a time. Utopia is sitting next to my dad when he died and holding his hand and not having any amends to make to him. Utopia is having my 16-year-old roll his eyes at me and, you know, tell me I don't get it and be really, really snotty. And that's utopia, because I stand there and I pray and I do not react in turn. Utopia is when the car breaks down and I have enough money in the bank to get new tires. You know, this is utopia to me today. Utopia is living life on God's terms, not on my terms, and doing what needs to be done in order to stay in this recovered state. I wake up every morning unrecovered. I wake up every morning as an addict, and the first thing I do is write a Dear God letter to thank him for my life and for my abstinence and for keeping me patient and grateful. And let me, how can I be of service to others today, God? How can I reach out to somebody who's struggling, and how can I get out of myself? Because I just want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to deal with anybody else because I'm selfish and self-centered. And that is utopia, and it's never, I never thought it was possible to be living an abstinent and happy life, because I was abstinent a million times, but I wasn't happy. And honestly, happiness isn't really the goal either. It's peace. Peace is the goal for me. And, you know, and when I don't feel peaceful, I have directions that will get me back to that peace. Thanks for letting me share today. Pass.
And thank you, Laura W. And Chevy K., you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Chevy?
Hi, good morning. This is Chevy K. Thank you for everyone on the line. Thank you for your shares. Thank you for your service. I'm actually really excited to be sharing because I can never make it to the live meetings, and today it happened to work out. Thank you, God. I'm probably just going to mimic what everyone else has been sharing, but what really struck me today around the word utopia is that I have a false utopia. And then I have a true utopia. And for me, my false utopia is when I am in my will instead of God's will. And when I am surrendered to myself instead of God. That's a false utopia. It might feel right and it might feel good in the moment because it's a release. And I like to run the show, but it's not long-standing. That's not long-term. The true utopia is when I am connected to God and when I am leaning into God's will for me, when I am surrendered to God's will, when I am surrendered to things that might not necessarily be going my way. And this is, for me, a constant battle. A battle between the false utopia and the true utopia. And, you know, even when I'm working my program, I can still be in my false utopia, and I have to constantly work on surrendering myself and transitioning back to that true state of utopia. This is my work. The bottom line is that this is my work. To stay connected to the true utopia, to stay connected to truths about myself. And right now, I've been trying to dig my way out of a false utopia. And I hope that my sharing on the line today will help me to reconnect and to give support and encouragement to others around me who are struggling. So I just wanted to share that. I wish everyone a blessed weekend of true connection and true utopia. And thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Chevy K. And Julie, you're up. Julie E.B., you're up, followed by Laura H. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered, just one day at a time in Colorado Springs, Colorado. You know, I just woke up not feeling what anyone would call utopia. Still disturbed, you know, with the struggle, someone in my life with this disease and mental illness. And yet I could get up and listen to the morning meeting. I can move my body today because I'm no longer trapped inside of 300 pounds with crippling pain every day. And as I listened to the meeting and moved my body and did my step work with a fellow who listened and gave me feedback, that's where this becomes true. We have it with us right here and now. And so utopia isn't out there, as one of you taught me. The presence is in the present. And so if I'm in yesterday's conversation, I don't have it with me. I don't have my higher power with me right here and now. And if I'm thinking about the future and what might happen or what someone might face, then I'm not right here right now, and I don't have it with us. But right now I have it. I have it with the abstinent meal that's in front of me, with the fellowship I have on the line. When I'm in the food, I'm waiting for a utopia to come, when it'll be easy to stop overeating, when it'll be something I can do all by myself and then call someone, when it'll be just something that happens quickly. But instead, it's about just accepting where I'm at. We have it with us right here, right now, each day, the simple talk. And my sponsor just came into my face-to-face, and she had that glow in her eyes and in her voice. And she said, yes, I'll take you through the book. And she just went through the book, and it was a simple talk. She just affirmed how my higher power was helping me to connect through this big book. And one step at a time, it multiplied itself. And now I'm just so grateful for my sponsor, for my sponsees, for the meeting. Two of them started together in the big book that's growing. And just so many exciting things. For me, peace today comes from the inside out. My higher power, I just say I'm yours and I trust you. And even on days when that's hard, that's what I do. And I wish the best goodwill for each of you. So pick up the phone, do whatever you need to, because there is a way out. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Julie B. And Laura H., you're followed by Cindy B. Laura?
Hi, good morning. This is Laura H. out of Chicago, currently visiting the great state of Florida. Today's reading is just so powerful. Bill's story, of course, is a story of hope. The line that captured, everyone's talking about utopia. And for me, real quick, utopia is just a place of acceptance. I think someone said that already. But it truly is me accepting where I am today, accepting my fellows, my friends, my loved ones, exactly where they are, and accepting myself, really, for where I am today. And I also feel that last line that we read about goodwill towards men, goodwill towards all, because when I was in the food and I was binging and I was 350 pounds, I was so selfish and self-absorbed, I only cared about the next fix, the next sugar high. I couldn't get it in fast enough. I couldn't lull myself to sleep long enough. And I wanted to escape all of the time. So for me, I just want to share, it's so important to carry this message of hope. You know, they say if you got it, you spot it. Well, I also feel if you got it, you recovery, you spot it in other people. And so together we can go out there and bring this message forward. It's such a powerful message of hope. I was in vacationing and I was talking to some people and they were describing a lot of discomfort in life. And, you know, these were people who had experienced a lot of life and their loved ones were in addiction of one form or another. And I just listened to them share and nodding my head all along as an addict, you know, I'm an addict, knowing that, you know, it is a hard story to hear, but that there is hope. And so I just want to encourage everyone on the line. I come to these phone meetings all of the time. Truly, it centers me. But I go to my face-to-face meetings every chance I can. And so I just want to encourage everyone to get to their face-to-face meetings as well, and to bring this message of hope for those of us who are still not feeling the peace and the serenity. So grateful to be on this call. Grateful to all of you. have a wonderful, abstinent rest of the day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Laura H. And Cindy D., you're up, followed by Anna B. Cindy?
Good morning, Sherry. Good morning. Thank you, Sherry. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. And, you know, as I was sitting here listening to the shares this morning, first of all, I appreciate them so much. And I really have to agree with what I've heard, that utopia is right here and now, and it is about acceptance. And I've been going through a couple of rough weeks with some medical stuff, and I actually am facing another medical procedure on Monday. And I have been in this self-pity place, and my sponsor and I were talking this morning, and you know, she's such a beautiful person with such a strong program, and she said, you know, for her 12 steps is about the experience, not the concept. And I just loved that. That put into words something I'd been feeling, that I really wanted more of an experience with my spirituality. And what came to me this morning is that what I'm going through is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And it is part of my journey, that the pain and the shame and guilt I've actually had come up around what I've done to my body and the medical problems it's created has brought me today to a place of extreme gratitude that God just is doing so many things in my life. And if I just stop and look at them, I can be amazed. You know, yesterday was my birthday, and my brother and sister came in from out of town. It just happened that my brother was needing to come through Dallas to fly out to Alaska. And so it just kind of fell together, and that's God's handiwork. And I haven't had anyone with me on my birthday for many years. My husband's always on the road, and I realize how much I've missed, you know, family and closeness and love. And you know, God brought that to me without me doing anything. And I see that in so many other ways in my life. And I learned this prayer last weekend at a workshop. It's short. It's called Surrender Prayer, and it says, God, I surrender myself to you. Please take care of everything. And today what I'm getting is that is utopia. God is taking care of everything, and I don't have to do it. And that's just amazing. And I appreciate that this meeting is helping me see that and learn that today. And so I'm very grateful to all my fellows, and I'm grateful to the program. And I think it goes back to the sentence in the paragraph right before, faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. And I think that that's the essence of what it's all about. So thanks for letting me share, and I wish everyone a wonderful and blessed weekend. I pass.
And thank you, Cindy D. And before we hear from Anna B., I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Chapter 1, Bill's Story, and we're in the third paragraph on page 16. It's the last paragraph concluding this chapter. And Anna, so get ready to share some names so that we can continue this wonderful meeting. Anna B., you're up.
Thank you. Utopia, I thought when I was reading that, it was like I was going to be in a certain space and having a lot of external things going on with my life. And my utopia is having, you know, even if I'm in the middle of losing a family member or my plumbing breaks down at the same time and that kind of thing, that's, to me, where I'm able to stay in appreciation that God is with me, that God's got this, that there is no spot where God is not. And I am just so appreciative and that I'm able to stay in my lane. And no matter if there's like toxic people around me, and you know, and I'm indirectly suffering from, you know, what they're doing, it doesn't matter. It's just I have to keep my side of the street clean. So the acceptance of accepting myself with my limits, accepting others with their limits, you know, not trying to pretend that, you know, oh, we'll be okay, or this will be, it's just, no, this, you know, I can't, you know, do better or whatever. It's just one of those things. So, I could do better on myself, but I can't expect others to be working the program like I am, or like we are, you know. So it's just been really great, and I just want to thank you so much. And when you were praying for the compulsive eater who still suffers, you were praying for me, and that's what brought me back in these rooms. I want to thank you so much, and with that, I'll pass.
And thank you, Anna B., and just reminding everybody, we're on page 16, the third paragraph, which is the last paragraph concluding this chapter. Who would like to share?
Lydia T.
Lydia T.
R. T.
Beatrice O.
Was that Barbara E?
Yes, was, ma'am.
Okay. And I heard
Kristen
you,
R.
Beatrice. And I heard Kristen R.
Jenny W.
Jenny W. And I can take one more. Someone else like to share?
Reggie O.
Reggie O. All right. All right. So I have Lydia T., Barbara E., Beatrice O., Christine R., Jenny W., and Reggie O. Lydia T., please go ahead, followed up by Barbara E. Lydia?
Hi, this is Lydia T., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Marquette, Michigan. Just listening to the shares today about Utopia, you know, I know I heard someone share earlier, I don't know if it was on this meeting or the earlier one, that Utopia, you know, sitting on a beach in the sun, drinking pina coladas, and that's what I thought Utopia was too, not having any responsibilities, any cares, and doing everything that I wanted to do. So really just being selfish and self-centered. But now I see it so differently, and that's what I think the beauty of this book is it teaches us a new way of looking at things and looking at life. For me, the utopia is being able to enjoy exactly where I am right now, today, living in the moment, washing my dishes this morning, eating my breakfast, just being doing the everyday things without being blocked to my higher power. So really living in the spirit, the sunlight of the spirit, that is utopia. And if I do these things every day the way it tells me to in this big book and the way I was guided through by my sponsor and, you know, helped through with the people on this line, that is what helps me to live every day in what is a utopia. And I just have to view the what is utopia in a different way. And now I see that way. And I'm living it every day, and I couldn't be happier. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you all for your service. Thank you, everybody, for being here and making this meeting so wonderful and enjoyable to listen to every day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Lydia T. And Barbara E., you're up, followed by Beatrice O. Barbara?
Well, can I be heard right now?
Yes, you can.
Okay, once again, I'm in my car on my way to a big book meeting, and I got so involved in the beautiful shares the last Friday that I totally missed my stop. and I am definitely navigationally challenged, but I did get there. And I don't know what possessed me to call you ma'am, since I'm probably 3 decades older than you, but I had a brain fart. Anyway, utopia for me was, prior to OA, eating whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, with absolutely no consequences, with everything going my way. If they'd had lotteries back then, we would win the $100 million lottery, and we'd have people waiting on us, preparing our food. Life would be beautiful. I would be tall and slender and look like Christie Brinkley. I'm short, and I've got curly brown hair and brown eyes, not those sparkling blue eyes. I am me. But utopia today for me is dancing through the raindrops, not bemoaning that it's raining out, knowing that the rain will bring flowers. When life gives me lemons, and it does, as I'm sure it does for a lot of you, making lemonade, sugar-free lemonade out of it, knowing that I can, if I'm willing, and I have to be willing, to match calamity with serenity. And I don't do it perfectly because I'm human and I make mistakes and I do get angry and I do feel fear. But I know what to do about it. I've got this wonderful medicine called the Steps and everything promised in Overeaters Anonymous that can help me work through any resentment, fears that I might do during the course of my everyday life. And it's a beautiful program, and I absolutely love the shares that came before me. And I really don't know what the moderator's name is, but I am just glad to be here. So I'm grateful that I'm closer to home, so I didn't get lost on my way to the meeting. And I will wish you all a beautiful weekend and looking forward to our next wonderful chapter. There is a solution. I pass.
And thank you, Barbara E. And Beatrice O., you're up, followed by Kristen R. Beatrice?
Hello, this is Beatrice O. From Northern California. I don't know about utopia. I've had different ideas about utopia. I've thought many times that I was living in utopia because everything was going my way. Anyway, I think what I need to talk about is, in order for me to live in utopia, I need to change. I've been counting my days of abstinence. I forgot how many I have, but and I've been working the steps. And I've been stuck on step 6. And I was going through my step book, and I wrote down my character defects about 20 years ago, or maybe 40 years ago, because I've been in program for quite some time. And I looked at my character defects that I wrote down, you know, 35, 40 years ago, and I still have all these character defects. You know, there's a saying that says, you know, if a horse thief, if you have an alcoholic horse thief that stops drinking, what you have is you're still a horse thief. So I think there's a lot of character defects that I need to work on, and spiritual values need to come first, and my abstinence and my relationship with God. you know, there's a lot of things that God is not going to do for me that I need to do, you know, because my God's not a codependent. So there's a lot of things that I need to take action on and not just think of them and be in fantasy land after my quiet time, wishing and hoping things would change. So, you know, yesterday I kind of had a moment of clarity that I need to do something and ask God for strength to change. You know, I used to hear that, you know, that's what happens in recovery, change, and everything changes. And if I want to continue to...
Time?
Okay, so I just want to say, if I want to continue to live in the presence of my higher power, then I need to change. There's a lot of work I still need to do. Thank you.
And thank you, Beatrice O. And Christine R., you're followed by Jenny W. Christine?
Hi, this is Kristen R. in Virginia. Grateful, compulsive eater. So I'm thinking about how Bill wrote this in the mid-1930s and how he was prone to use flowery language sometimes. And I'm thinking about 20 years later, more than 20 years later, when he's been in the program, he's recovered, he's been all over the world sharing the message, and he is depressed. He's really depressed. And he writes a letter that eventually gets published in the Grapevine, A's newsletter, that says, you know, there's a level of emotional sobriety that I still hadn't achieved even after 20 years in the program. And that really strikes me because he may have been in a pink cloud. He may have been feeling really, really just the wonderful benefits of this program as soon as, you know, as soon as you do get recovery. But what he did when he became depressed is he continued to work his program. He didn't give up. He didn't go back to the bottle. He continued to work his program. He continued to work his steps. And that for me is inspirational because I struggle, really struggle with anxiety. And it's a daily process for me. And I recently heard someone on this line talk about how she wakes up every morning and she needs a hard reset by God. And that's what I need. I need God to reset my battery every morning. And sometimes even after my reset through prayer and meditation and writing and I still feel anxious, and I have to continue to turn my will and my life over to God by doing the steps, by doing a 10th step, by calling someone, and then by getting out of myself. Because ultimately, getting out of myself, like we talked about the other day, is what this final salvation is. That's utopia. When I forget myself, then I'm in utopia. It's not when I'm thinking about how happy I am, how free of anxiety I am. It's when I'm not even thinking about myself that really I find utopia. So I'm just glad to be on the line this morning. I'm glad to be sharing, and I'm glad to be human and walking these steps every day with all of you. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you, Kristen R. And Jenny W., you're up, followed by Reggie O. Jenny? Star 1 to unmute, please. Jenny W.?
Hi, this is Jenny W. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you, Jenny.
Oh, great. Thank you for calling on me. I'm in Southern California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I have 10 days of abstinence working with a sponsor in Vision, and I just, you know, over the last little bit of time here have had, I can relate to the reading so much because, you know, my disease doesn't want me in utopia. My disease wants me in darkness. It's like that monster that just wants to suck me down with it and, you know, feed me and grow me there in the pits. And, you know, the first line of this reading, when it talks about we need look no further, I just thought stood out to me like we have these steps. We have this program of action, you know, that's simple, maybe not easy, but that's what utopia is it isn't even necessarily just the feeling that I get as a result of working the steps. And I've learned, you know, that or heard self-love isn't a feeling, it's an action. And just going into action when my head tells me to do something else, like completely opposite, is just a miracle of this program, that my eyes have been open to that, that my higher power has brought me here. And I also love in the reading, you know, when they he says, each day my friend's simple talk. You know, when I'm a chatterbox, I love to talk. I love, you know, already the miracles that I've had in this program, but I also need to be reminded that, you know, it's not about me. It's not about what I say and my big extravagant explanation of anything or what I'm doing or how I'm doing it. You know, when I'm in Utopia because I'm working this program and I've had that psychic change, like the energy, my actions, my whole being is renewed. It's different. And I don't need necessarily the words for my higher power to work through me to help somebody else. Like that can help happen with a simple talk. And I just love, you know, I have the moments where my disease will crop up and tell me like, man, this is a lot of work. What are you doing? You can't do this. You know, all that negative, judgmental, hateful, you know, violent, unnecessary chatter in my head from that dark monster. And when I go call someone or I listen to a meeting or I'm filling my mind, you know, with a podcast, I hear all of you, it totally defeats and quiets. Like the light shines so bright that that darkness doesn't even have a chance. And I'm just so grateful to be abstinent today. I'm thankful for sharing, for allowing, being allowed to share on this call. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Jenny W. And Reggie Yeo, you'll take us out. Reggie?
Thanks. Thank you. Good morning, Sherry. Thanks so much for your service and everybody who's on the line and who shared this morning. It's really amazing. This is Reggie Yeo. I'm very grateful to recovered here in the Los Angeles area. And it's amazing to me to sit and listen to what gets shared on this line, you know. And I, you know, no further for Utopia. I thought so many things as I was listening to all of you, and I, you know, but when I look at my changes in program, they come in ways, you know, the joy and the happiness and the, you know, all of the good things that come from this come from where I never thought they would come. You know, so much of my life was about getting what I wanted, getting seen, you know, just striving, reaching, doing this, doing that, you know, will I look good, how will I sound, etc. And I had this experience yesterday, and it just kind of brings together what this program has done for me, this Utopia, is I went to finish up a course, a training that I was doing. It had 6 modules with a population I never thought I would be teaching, with a topic that I would never have dreamed of being teaching, never dreamed of teaching. And you know, when I was thinking about going into my day yesterday, making sure I had the curriculum right and everything, you know what really took me there and always takes me there is what I could give to these young people, because I just so deeply loved them and felt it was such an honor to be able to do this work with them. And so each time I would go into the class, it would be an absolute joy. And I realized that it wasn't so much like, okay, so it was a kind of a challenging topic for me to teach, one that I learned, you know, that I needed to learn so much about. And I realized yesterday that this was also, you know, another way God had of showing up. But we closed that class, you know, when we closed that class yesterday, I think we had all had an experience, and there was an experience of love in the class, you know, and that the kids felt seen and they knew they were cared for. And that meant more to me. Actually, I didn't even have to think about how I looked, you know, that was of no concern. And this being enough has been, you know, problematic for me. Oh, I can't sponsor. I don't have enough. I need to get filled up. I need more. You know, but I was thinking this a little earlier, the great reality, you know, the power that we're taught to learn how to connect with in this program
is deep within us. It's deep within me. It's only there that it can be found. How can I say, that's kind of selfish, isn't it? I'm not enough when this great reality is in me, wanting to be expressed through me. And when I don't get it, you know, directly, you all are always there to bring me back, because you also have that great reality living deep within you, and you get to reflect it back to me. And what I have just is what Bill had. Bill just shared his story,
Hi.
You know, and his story changed the world, so to speak. And we all have our own story and our own recovery, and it makes a difference. So I'll pass with that. Thanks, Sherry, everybody.
And thank you, Reggio. And so now it's time to close our meeting. And thank you for all for your wonderful shares today. And I would like to take the time to thank Team Friday for their service for the month of March. Peggy M. on the 12 Steps, Athena B. on the Traditions, Robin P. was our reader, Julie E. B. Is going to read page 164, Marilyn T. was our backup waiting in the wings. Our newcomer greeter is Leslie M., and our announcements will be by Janice P. M. All right. So, so now we will close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Marilyn T., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater.
Sorry, Julie, I meant you. Sorry about that.
No problem. No problem. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will continually disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.